Our first scripture lesson today is from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 3, verses 1 through 20. These will be very familiar words for many of you. And as always, when we have familiar scriptures, I encourage you to listen with new ears, to listen for what God is truly saying to you in these words of scripture. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel," and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So Samuel went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if the voice calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning this house from beginning to end. For I had told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity they knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He said, "Here I am." Eli said, "What is it that the voice told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also, if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Then he said, "It is the Lord. Let the Lord do what seems good to the Lord." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God.
Our next scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John. I'll be reading from the first chapter of John, verses 43 through 51. Let us listen for God's voice in our lives in these words. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." And when Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." And Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" And Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." And Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." For the Word in creation, for the Word in Scripture, and for the Word within us, thanks be to God. The word of the Lord was rare in those days, and visions were not widespread. These are the opening words of the passage you heard just moments ago in 1 Samuel. The word of the Lord was rare in those days, and visions were not widespread. One needs to read just a little bit ahead of this to understand exactly the impact of these words. Because you see, Eli had two sons. They were named Hophni and Phinehas. And they were corrupt to the core. And at the center of their corruption was the way they used and manipulated the temple for their own benefit and their own wealth. They basically took everything off of the top for themselves. And their corruption was called out. The scriptures tell us in the story before our reading that a man, a person, an unnamed person, comes to Eli and says, "You know this is going on. You know this corruption is there. You know the system is being used to take all of the good things for your sons. You know that. And you're not doing anything about it. And because of this, you will be held accountable." This precedes this story of young Samuel hearing the voice three times. A voice that just says, "Samuel, Samuel." And of course he thinks Eli is calling him, and he goes three times, and Eli knows something is going on. Because you see, he knows that the word of the Lord is rare in these days. He knows that visions are not widespread. And why does he know this? Because he is the chief priest. And he's not hearing the word of the Lord, and he is not having visions. And when the voice comes to Samuel, he knows there has been a shift. He knows there has been a change. The temple is about to change. And the voice comes to Samuel and tells him of the judgment on Eli and his sons. The story doesn't tell us this, but perhaps the voice speaking to Samuel that Eli says is the Lord was the same voice that spoke through this person that brought these same words to Eli. But Samuel listens to this voice, and he goes back to Eli the next morning, and he's hesitant because he knows the ramifications of what has been said. And Eli says, "No, tell me straight up. Tell me the truth. I need to hear it." And when Samuel tells him what the voice told him, Eli knows that the word of the Lord has shifted from him to Samuel. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. I can't help but compare our own times to these words. I can't help but see a time when the word of the Lord is rare, when visions are not widespread, when there is corruption in our systems, where the people at the top are taking all of the prophets and all of the good things and leaving the people, the majority of the people, wanting and longing. I can't help but think of this. But I also can't help but think of where I was on this weekend. This weekend, this very weekend, 12 years ago. This weekend, 12 years ago, in our nation's capital, where I was a pastor at the time, there were well more than 1 million people filling that city. For 4 days, the streets were just filled. And they were filled with joy, and they were filled with hope, and they were filled with laughter. And people were in the crowds celebrating. And then I look at that same city today, and that National Mall that was filled with people, the streets that were filled with singing are cordoned off with fences and barbed wire and concrete barriers and tanks. And no one is celebrating. No one is laughing. No one is joyful. On that Sunday before inauguration 12 years ago, I remember a sermon I preached. I'm not going to preach the whole thing to you today. But the gist of that sermon was that the dream of Martin Luther King Jr., whose day we celebrate tomorrow, the dream of Martin Luther King Jr. had made its way down the National Mall to the Capitol building and had turned into hope. And we were a nation filled with hope. But we were also a nation of the people who were not on that mall. We were also a nation of people who were filled with fear. People who were afraid of change. People who were afraid of having a president of a different color. We were filled, our country, with hatred, with jealousy, with fear, with racism. that was deep in our roots, buried in the very DNA of genocide and slavery at the foundation of our country. And this was bubbling up as well. And today, my friends, I think we are safe in saying the word of the Lord is rare, and visions are not widespread. But the story tells us the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And that's true today. There is still hope in our lives. Even in the midst of political turmoil, even in the midst of a global pandemic and economic suffering as a result of both of these, there is still hope. The lamp of God has not yet gone out. And our question today is, where are the Samuels? Where are the Samuels in today's world? Where are the people to whom the voice is calling their names and waiting for the reply, "Speak, Lord"? Where are they? Well, I want to tell you one place where they're not. These voices are not coming through the groups that we see rioting and attacking our culture. These voices are not coming through the voices of white nationalism. They are not coming through the Proud Boys, the Oath Keepers, the Boogaloo Boys, the Last Sons of Liberty, the KKK, and unnamed thousands. Nor is it coming through the fantasies and the paranoia of QAnon. These are not voices of truth. These are voices of fear. These are voices of violence. These are voices of suppression. And we need to listen for the voices of prophets that are proclaiming justice, that are proclaiming equality, that are claiming accountability, that are claiming dignity, that are claiming reparation, that are claiming peace and love. We need to listen to these prophetic voices, the voices of Samuel. As the story tells us, as Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. Our New Testament reading tells us of a very similar time to the time of Samuel and the time of us. This is the time when Jesus was coming into his ministry and calling his disciples. He was calling his disciples in similar times, in times of imperial oppression. A lot of people don't know this, but part of the empire's oppression of the area of Palestine was economic, and it was definitely involved in the fishing trade. The empire controlled the fishing trade. And much like the sons of Eli, they took everything off the top. leaving very little for the people who were actually doing the fishing. It's no wonder that Jesus goes to the fishing villages to call his disciples, because these are the people who are hearing the voice. And Jesus calls them, and they respond. And one that is called is a man named Nathanael from Nazareth, or from Galilee. But Jesus is from Nazareth, and there's a little tension between Nazareth and Galilee. It's much like the urban-rural struggle going on in our lives today. And Nathanael says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" But then he meets Jesus. Because Philip invites him. Philip simply says, "Come and see. Come see for yourself." And so he meets Jesus, and Jesus seems to tell him this thing that's sort of a mysterious knowing of where he was under this fig tree. And that seems to convince Nathanael. And Jesus comes back with, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened up and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." You're going to see greater things than this. You're going to see the temple who is appeasing the empire and acquiescing to the empire. You're going to see that temple come down. You're going to see angels all around coming, going. Now, this has always been a puzzle to me, because if you read the story, you don't really see all these angels coming and going. But what do you see? You see throngs of people coming to Jesus for healing, for hope, for liberation from the oppression of the temple, the church, and the empire. You see people coming and going. And I want to suggest to us this morning that just may be the angels that Jesus is talking about here. The disciples experienced the coming and going of the presence and the voice of God, hearing messages, seeing signs that are grounded in the lives of the people. And more importantly, in their own lives. Author Frederick Buechner says that our lives are where God speaks to us, if we are only listening. Are we listening? Will we hear the voice calling as Samuel did? Are we recognizing the fact that there are angels all around us in the form of each other? And let me tell you, let's don't get too pious about this. All those angry people out on the Capitol grounds and smashing windows and ramrodding doors and laying siege to our capital, we need to listen to those voices as well. Not to acquiesce to their demands, but to hear the cry of pain. Those people are hurting. But their pain has been manipulated by those people at the top who will do anything to gain and keep the power that they have. My friends, we are living in a day when the word of the Lord is rare. We are living in a day when we desperately need to listen for the voice of God. The lamp of God has not yet gone out. And the promise of Jesus is the presence of God is here, is now, in angels coming and going in the people and our lives. Listen. Listen. And when you hear the voice answer, "It is I, Lord," speak. Amen. A famous quote from Mr. Rogers that is often cited during times of conflict and trouble. And Mr. Rogers once said that in troubling times, in times of conflict and violence, look for the helpers. Look for those people who are offering peace, who are offering comfort, who are offering aid. Do not look for the people who are the loudest, the ones who are calling for violence, the ones who are angry. Look for the helpers. And I would add, and I'm sure Mr. Rogers would and probably did at some time, be one of those helpers. Well, this whole idea of angels coming and going has just held my mind for the past few days. And a song just would not get out of my brain. And so I contacted the person who wrote it and asked if we could share it this morning. We're going to share a song that was written by Chuck Brodsky. Chuck is a singer, songwriter, troubadour, guitarist. But his version of his own song is not the one I'm the most familiar with. I have heard it for years by another singer-songwriter friend, David Lamott. And so our charge this morning comes from Chuck Brodsky and David Lamott. And before I even go any further, I do offer my apologies to Chuck and David for my version of their song, because we didn't have a score, and Cheryl and I have worked this out. So this is our version of Chuck Brodsky's song performed by David Lamott. Well, I hope to see you later, 'cause it's time for me to go. That's my ride that just pulled over, and it sure was good to know you. So go and answer your calling, go and fill somebody's cup, and if you see an angel falling, won't you stop and help them up? We are each other's angels, and we meet when it is time, and we keep each other going, and we show each other signs. Sometimes you'll stumble, and sometimes you'll fall down, and sometimes you'll get lonely when there's nobody around. And you might shiver when the wind blows, you might get blown away, and you might lose a little color, but don't you ever lose your faith. Because we are each other's angels, and we meet when it is time, and we keep each other going, and we show each other signs. So thank you for the water. Thought I was gonna die out here in the desert, but you quenched my thirst. Let's break a little bread together. You got a little manna. It was a gift from someone who was passing by and gave me a lift. So go and answer your calling. Go and fill each other's cup. And if you see an angel falling, won't you stop and help them up? We are each other's angels, and we meet when it is time, and we keep each other going, and we show each other signs. Jesus said, you will see even greater things than these. You will see the heavens open up and angels will come and go. Angels are coming and going in our lives every day. And we are angels coming and going in their lives. Because we are each other's angels. And we need angels more desperately than we have needed them in a long time. Go and be an angel. Amen.